Amen. Go to Psalms 11 or 118 and 21. Let's go to Psalms 118 and 21. I want to read a couple of psalms that David wrote. If you're ever feeling down, I got a book for you to read. It's called the Book of Psalms. Yeah. David said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone, which one is my salvation? The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner or of the building. Well, this is the Lord's doings, he said. It is marvelous in our eyes. And here's that famous scripture we love to quote. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Down to verse 28. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Woo, I want to just teach you tonight from this thought. The voice of the glad. The voice of the glad. Woo, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go, whew, to the house of the Lord. Lord, I come before you tonight. I ask for direction, Lord. I ask for leadership. I ask for you to guide us through this sermon, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize that we can be glad in you at all times, God, realizing that the end is good. The in-between may not seem so good, but God, you've got an expected end for every one of us. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. The voice of the glad. Now, let me read you this. I didn't give them this verse. I'm just going to read this in Psalms 92 and 1. He said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad. You might remember David said at one time, he said, we hung as it were our harps in the willows. And they inquired of us and said, sing us a song of Zion. And we said, how shall we sing a song of Zion in a strange land? I'm too sad to sing a happy song. Have you ever been too sad to sing a happy song? The hardest people to be around is when someone's glad and everyone else is sad. Because you want to be glad, but you can't be glad because they're so sad. And it puts a damper on your gladness. You can't. David said, I want to let it out. I want to extol it. I want to praise you. I'm going to get my guitar out. And I'm going to do something to show my gladness unto the Lord. He hath made me glad. I didn't start this way. It didn't start out this way, but this is the voice of the glad. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad through thy work, not through my works, but through thy work. I will triumph in thy work of thine hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. We look at what we're going through now, and this is where I want to start talking to you. We look at what we're going through now and determine whether we want to be sad or glad. You look at the elements around you, the forces that are compelling you, and all the things that you can put your eyes and your thoughts on and think on those things that are not conducive to being glad. And we'll just be sad. There's always a sad something to look at. I don't care. Always a sad part you can look at. But Paul did say, finally, brethren, if there be any virtue, if there be any knowledge, if there be any truth, if there be any good report, to think on these things. Why? That'll make you glad. Amen. How many of you like being around sad folks? How many of you like being around complaining folks? How many of you like being around warts? You know, worry warts. No one likes to be like that, be around that. But why sometimes are we like that? I want to teach you to have the voice of the glad at all times. David said, thy praise shall be upon my lips when I'm happy. No, continually. All the time. I'm going to find something to praise him about. Rather than looking at all the afflictions and things, David said, you know what? That was good for me that I was afflicted. I'm glad I was afflicted. I didn't like it when I was afflicted, but it was good for me. And that's what I want to show you tonight, how to get the voice of the glad. And I could have preached the other side of the sermon and said the voice of the sad. But I want to preach about the voice of the glad. Amen. I've heard too much voice from the sad. The sad don't mind telling you how sad they are. Well, how are you tonight? Well, I don't know. The text scripture in Psalms, David is praising the God of his salvation. Then he shows us the sad part. And then he shows us the glad part. He said that he was the stone, speaking of Christ, the stone the builders refused. The builders rejected. Now, how many of you just love to be rejected? No one likes rejection. No one likes to be avoided. I think they avoided me. You've never avoided anybody? Come on. You do the same thing that you sometimes tell other people and badmouth them. And that's what Jesus called a hypocrite. He said, thou doest the same, O thou that judge, and doest the same. So rejection's not something that makes me want to jump up and down. But through my understanding of what Christ is doing, O Lord, how great are thy works, then I know God's up to something. I know God is doing something good in my life, even though it don't seem good at the time. David tells us this glad part. It doesn't seem to be glad that he was refused, that Christ would be refused. But he said, that's sad. But here's the glad part. The same one they refused became the chief cornerstone. The same situation, come on, that made me sad is the same one that made me glad. It was because they refused me that I became the chief cornerstone. You know how quick sadness and gladness can change? Just watch football. Just watch football. You can be cheering one second and think, whoa, and then 2 seconds later, you're sad. If we're not careful, we need to just say, I'm glad I could play. I'm glad I could get up. I'm glad I could. And you'll find something to be glad about. When the Lord, how many of you believe your steps are ordered of the Lord? Isn't that what the Bible says? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? Well, doesn't God know what he's doing? You may not know what he's doing, but he's doing something in your life. Now, if he's doing something and it's his works and not mine, because I turned my life over to him, I think you did too. So if I turned my life over to him, I said, you run it, Lord. You're going to do a better job than I would do it. You see, if I run my life, I would avoid all sadness. I'd avoid everything, all confrontations I've ever had, I would have avoided them. I would have never had nothing but what I thought would be a happy life. But what I didn't realize that you can't stay in that state all the time. There is some low points, there's some high points and so forth. But if we have the mindset that I know God's doing something here, I may not understand what I'm going through and why I'm going through it, but I become glad about it because I know God is doing something in my life no matter how sad the situation looks. Here Christ comes as the Savior of the world. I said, we don't want you. How sad is that? But the same situation of them being rejected, now how glad we are that he is the chief cornerstone of our salvation. So David says, I recognize now thou art become my salvation. So David puts this all together, the sad part and the glad part. He says, this is the Lord's doing. Now watch. And it is marvelous in our eyes. You've got to get to the point where everything you go through is marvelous. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. I marvel at it. Right? That's what marvelous is when you marvel at it. And you marvel at things because you don't understand why this happened to me. But it's God's doings. Amen. And then we quote this verse so often without talking about the rejecting part of Christ and without talking about the builders, he becomes the chief cornerstone. We only quote a verse somewhat out of context when we read, "But this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." There is the point. You've got to rejoice in it, because every day is the day the Lord hath made. He said in the very beginning, the first day, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The evening and the morning were the first day. Every day belongs to the Lord. And a day is not necessarily when sun comes up and goes down, but it is the time and period in your life in which you live. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we can talk about back in the day. Okay, you go back there. The Bible says that a living dog is better than a dead lion. I can name you a lot of people, including my grandpa, that did a lot of great things and way more than I've done in the gospel. I wouldn't trade places with him for nothing. I may be a dog, but I'm still living. I can still do something for the Lord. So I'm glad to be in the day that I'm in. Somebody said, "Boy, if I could have lived in the day of Christ, you may have been the one crucifying him." So be glad with whatever's going on in your life. I want to help you today to see that God's got a hand in what's going on. It's His works and not your own. Sometimes we do things that we create the trouble ourselves, but how many times does trouble come your way you didn't ask for? Quite often. So here comes the voice of the glad. He said, "Thou art my God. I will praise thee. I will extol thee. I will give thee thanks. I thank you for your mercy, because it endureth forever." My God, it's fresh every morning. Some of y'all drink fresh coffee every morning. Well, I get up and I drink fresh mercy every morning, because I'm going to need it. There are three things that we must remember about walking with God. And here they are. Some things in the life of a Christian, let's just say it must happen. It must happen. It must happen. Nothing just happens. It must happen. It's the will of God. And there are things that have happened. Right? They already occurred. Now here's the secret. Be glad it happened. This is the mindset you've got to have. There's some things that must happen. They must happen. Whatever you think I am today, it is the sum total of things that happened in my life. Whatever I am today, like it or don't like it, it's a sum total of everything that happened in my life. And a lot of things that I went through when I was going through them, I wasn't real happy about. See, that's where the root word happen or happy comes from. Hap, a happening. Something happened and it dictates whether I'm happy or not. That's different from joy. Joy is this internal thing, not based upon what's happening. In Mark 10 and 32, Jesus talks to his disciples and they were in the way going to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed him, they were afraid. You ever been amazed and afraid at the same time? Well, that's what they were. They don't like, "What is going on here, man?" And he took again the 12 and began to tell them the things that should happen unto them. There are some things, if you're not careful and you don't walk with Christ, you'll avoid things that should happen. Instead of letting some things happen, he said, why not suffer yourself to be defrauded? That's not something I really want to happen, be defrauded. But he said, why do you suffer not yourself to be defrauded? It should happen. Saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests. Oh, it's sad. This is sad. And unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. He's talking about himself. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles. This should happen. But in the garden, didn't he look for another way? He says, if there's another way here, couldn't we get it not to happen? Even Christ said, if we could, you know, do it some other way. But then he realized, nevertheless, this must happen. For this cause came I into the world. Lo, in the volume of the book, it was written of me to do thy will, O God. And they shall mock him. I don't know many people that won't get mocked. If there's one thing that'll stir up some people, it's mockery. And I have, as a child, I'm sure I've done some mockery, but I have tried my best to not mock people in any way. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. Look how sad this is. But out of this sadness, and the third day, gladness will come. And the third day, he shall rise again. You're going to be so sad, but then you're going to know I have risen, and you'll be so glad. There are so many things in my life that could have gotten me so sad. I could have soured, as we say, on many things, including ministry. But I chose not to let that get to my salvation. It may have got to my feelings, but I can't let my feelings get to my salvation. Oh, Lord, that's a good thought there. Because too many people get their feelings between them and their salvation. When they get their feelings hurt, then that hurts their salvation. So the Lord is telling them, this should happen, it will happen, and I got to be glad it happened. Ah. He's teaching them to be glad about even the things you go through in life that you don't normally want to be glad about. Let me take you quickly to an example of the life of Paul. Because he was a man that suffered many things for Christ, right? He was persecuting Christ. And then, you know the story, when he was struck down by the light, he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, the one you persecute. It's hard. It's a sad thing to kick against the pricks. And he turned his life around. That's what I like about Jesus. Only Jesus can turn your life around. Only Jesus can turn your life around. He turned his life around 180 degrees and began to minister to the people he once was killing. And they were all afraid of him because, man, isn't this God that... They said, and the Lord said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine now. Be glad. Be glad about it. And he could have been sad about all the things he did. And no doubt there was some sorrow there. But he chose to focus on the glad things that happened in his life. That the Lord turned me around. Among sinners, I'm chief. Of all those called to be an apostle, I'm the least of them. But I'm glad to be one. So after these things in Acts 19:21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. God is drawing me to a place called Rome. This should happen. How many times has God drawn you to do something and you didn't do it? It should happen. And that's why the scripture says that God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish. It's still your choice if you perish or not. You should not. But come to repentance. So Paul could have said, Rome? That's where they beat them over there. They're brutal in Rome. I mean, Rome was known for being brutal. I think I'm going to avoid this. No, this should happen. And one named Agabus, a prophet during that day, he comes to Paul and he's trying to discourage Paul. And he takes Paul's girdle, a part of his garment, and he ties himself up and he binds himself. And he said, Paul, this is what's going to happen to you if you go to Rome. There's always someone that's going to help you to not do the will of God. There's always somebody that, well, you don't really need to do that. You don't. And although the Bible said he said by the Spirit, which lets me know this was Paul's test to see if this would happen or would he listen to this. And so Paul looked at him, he's all bound up. And he said, you might as well get out of that, because I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die and be glad about it. That's my man. I'm not only willing to be bound, this should happen. Queen Esther said, if I die, I die. This is what should happen. I'm the one that God chose for such a time as this. It is my duty to stand up and hold. If he don't hold out the supper, I die and you will too. And she realized she's not going to be spared with all those Jews anyway. We need to realize the things that should happen in our lives, do not avoid them because of pain, ridicule, rejection, and these other things. Because it robs you of the gladness that is to come. The Bible says that Christ looked at the cross, but he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him on the other side. So Paul said, look, Agabus, I appreciate what you had to say, and even when we got ready, we're building this new church, and are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, get behind me, Satan. I'll go with my four no more. It doesn't matter. I've got to do what God is propelling me to do. So we see now he says, I got to go to Rome. Man, I God's calling me there. Then we read in chapter 25 in verse 10, then said Paul, now here he is. He's getting there, but he's not going by a sailboat. Really, I mean, the sails, you know what happened in the boat and the ship. He's not going on a cruise liner and a carnival cruise. He's going in chains and bonds. This is not exactly what perhaps he had in mind. But then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as well as thou well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. That's not it. That's fine. If I've committed wrong and it's worthy of death, then that's fine. I'm not refusing that. But I haven't done anything wrong. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Well, guess where Caesar is? The Roman Empire. I appeal. I want to go see Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. This was part of God's plans to get him there. Then in chapter 26, in verse 32, then said Agrippa and Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. See, God was leading him to say, I appeal unto Caesar. He could have said, no, I don't want to go to Rome. I don't want to go see Caesar. They're going to beat me to death over there. Well, you know the story when he got there. He said, are you going to beat another Roman? Are you a Roman? Yes, I am, of the first order. God's always got a plan to move you into gladness. Because he's on his way to gladness, but he hadn't got there yet. I read a scripture one time that said, all the righteous shall suffer persecution. Have y'all read that one? But, that's what I like. After that it says, but the Lord know how to deliver the righteous out of all their troubles. Let me interject this before I go back to Paul. In Matthew 5 and 10, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted. And a lot of people are persecuted, but it's for bad behavior. But he said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly what? Glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, if you don't have an eternal mindset, you will stay sad. Let me tell you, it is very difficult to. The Bible says if you either walk in the spirit or you walk in the flesh, but you can't walk in both. We try to do this. We want to walk in spirit, walk in flesh, and we see it. God's doing something in my life, and we're walking in spirit. Then when things go bad, this is the worst year of my life. You're going to have people that saying right now, last year was the worst year of my life. They're going to say that. And I'm not saying it wasn't. But when you walk in the spirit, you realize that the sadness that you go through, God brings gladness out of that sadness. And so we have to realize that when we walk with the Lord, many times we walk through the valley, the shadow of death. But I'm glad I'm not alone. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so we need to not walk after the flesh, but walk after the spirit. But this carnal mindset is very tough to get out of. It's very tough because we still live in the flesh. I didn't have time. I ran out of time Sunday, as you know, teaching Sunday school. So I'm going to throw this in. The Bible says that when you have a feast, call not your friends, your relatives, and all those folks that you like, for they can recompense you. Thank you cards, thank you, oh, appreciate you. You come to my house next time, we're going to have a gumbo at our house and all that. He said, no. I'm not telling you shouldn't do those things. He didn't tell you not to do those things, but he said, let me tell you where the recompense comes from. He said, those can recompense you. So whatever you got, you got it right there. It's over with. You got that thrill of them thanking you for it. But he said, but when you call a feast, call the lame, the poor, the blind, and the maimed. For they cannot recompense you. But I will recompense you on the resurrection of the just. See, we've got this mindset. We've got to be rewarded now. Did they tell you thank you for that? You know, I didn't get a thank you card from them. It's like I was telling you, the body of Christ, when my feet stumble and my head hits the pew, you know, if I fall into the pew, I'm not waiting for my feet to say, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And my head could say, well, I'm not going anywhere until you apologize, feet. You dumb old feet. That's not how the body of Christ works. That's not how it works. So if you're waiting for recompense, waiting for thank you cards, and people, they'll disappoint you, and you'll stay sad. Well, see if I ever do that again for them. Well, you know what? When you help the lame and the maimed and the blind, you're going to feel better. You'll be more glad about that once you do it than you would, because you'll see the joy you bring to those folks over the joy you bring to people that already have abundance. That's just a side note. So Paul's journey now now we find him in a prison cell writing verses like, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. He wrote one other place, rejoice always in the Lord. And here he is in a prison. And he writes in Philippians 1 and 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. The voice of the glad. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened, there we go, the things that happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The things that you're looking at that happened to me, I'm glad they happened. Because now it will propel the gospel like never before. If it hadn't happened to me, because watch, I'm going to read the next verse to you. If this hadn't happened to me, the gospel wouldn't have spread like it did. So he said, I want you to understand these things about the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. I have been before kings, I've been before judges, I've been before governors, I've been before people that are in a palace, and now it is spread through them to all other places. I'm so glad this happened to me. One day, I know some of you, maybe you're going through things, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You've got to change the way you look at things. You've got to change that. Because if you don't, you'll have a sad life. You have a sad life. You can have a glad life by changing the perspective of how you see things. So he said, No, I want you to understand that yes, there was some pain, and yes, it was brutal, and yes, they beat me with the rods, and yes, they left me for dead, and all that, but I'm glad. Because look at the gospel now. And here I am reading this today. What would have happened if Paul, if Agabus would have talked Paul out of that trip to Rome? We wouldn't have a lot of these writings that we're reading. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing, and watch what happened. When they heard this, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident in my bonds, seeing what I went through, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They're seeing how glad I am about what I went through, and they're saying, well, you know, if Paul could do it, I probably could do it too. Because if you come to with two people and you complain about them, I'm telling you, living for God is tough. I'm telling you, I just don't know. There's times I just won't give up. You think that really encourages somebody to live for God? They're just so up about that. No. You've got to say, Lord, he brought me through everything. If he brought me across the Red Sea, he'll bring me across Jordan River. If he healed me one time, he'll heal me another time. And you've got to build faith through gladness. You do not build faith through sadness. He hath made me glad. And I'll close with this, if y'all want me to. There was a man in the Bible named Lazarus, and he was really a good friend of Jesus, as well as his two siblings, Martha and Mary. And it's interesting because he falls sick while Christ is out of town. He gets sick, and so they send word back, these sisters who knew that Jesus could do something about it. See, there's something happening, but it's God's doings and not theirs. So he's sick, and when Jesus heard that he was sick, he tried to get them to understand, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. This must happen. And it says, now Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It wasn't because he didn't love them that he was going through this and they would go through this. So many times we think, well, he doesn't love me because I'm going through this. I'm reading you here, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's not because he doesn't love you that you go through what you go through. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, what did he say? I'm going to come immediately and I'm going to show that God's with me and I'm going to... No. The Bible says, and he abode 2 days still in the same place he was. This man is sick unto death. He is dying. And when the Lord hears that he's sick, he didn't even move. Jesus was a master. You know, I told you about the lady that come to his feet and said, help me, Lord. And he ignored her. He said not a word. He was a master at even when those that came to about the woman that caught in adultery, he just stooped down there and started doodling on it, like they weren't even there. Another place he said, he knowing their thoughts said such and such. So he was a master at that. So finally he says, okay, boys, it's time. Our friend Lazarus, he sleepeth. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, we're to be glad about that, huh? I'll go wake him up out of his sleep. And his disciples said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'd do well. They're still carnally thinking. The report was he's sick unto death. And when Jesus says he's sleeping, they can't put this together. And that's the problem with having a carnal mind. You can't piece it together. A carnal mind cannot piece or trace God. They can't. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking the rest of sleep. Then Jesus unto them said plainly, He's dead. And sometimes the Lord's had to speak to me like that. So, Lord, why? How long, Lord, will you allow the wicked to do that? He said, no. You don't understand it. It's over. This is my plan. Now, I wanted to read this verse to you because it goes so well with what I'm trying to teach you. So after he said he's dead, in John 11 and 15, he said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. I am glad that I was not there to the intent that what this was, what the purpose of this happening could be fulfilled. And many times we bail people out, we find an alternate route to get them out of their troubles, and the purpose of God is not fulfilled. The intent, we avoid the intent of why God let people go through things. So now, what he's telling them, it's good that I wasn't there, not for my sake, your sake. He's got disciples that need to see something perhaps they've not really seen before. I don't know if Lazarus was the first person he raised from dead. I don't really think he was. I think there was another one. But let me ask you this. Which is a greater miracle, healing of sickness or resurrection from the dead? In his power, it's just as easy to do one as the other. But in my mind, resurrection from the dead pretty much trumps a cold or a palsy. Yeah, resurrection of the dead. Now, not one day, not 2 days, but 4 days. That's pretty powerful. That was his intent. From the very beginning, the sickness was intended to show the glory of God. But let's go find another way. Let's hurry up, Jesus. You need to get over here and heal him so he won't be sick. No. You don't understand. I don't work like that. We sing a song often that says, he's never early, he's never late, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. And I'm just getting down to the meat of this because I don't want to take up too much time. A dead man's going to hear his voice. So shall it be in the resurrection on the last day. He's coming with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ are going to hear it first and rise up to meet. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. And the dead man that was wrapped in garments that they had given up and put a stone in front of the tomb and said, there's no way. Lord, he stinketh. I'm telling you, God can handle any stinking situation you got. There's nothing that stinks too bad he can't handle it. And I've been through some stinky things. He told them, why don't you roll back that stone? You put it there. Take me to the place you quit believing. Bring me back to where you left him. And from there, I'll take over. I've often told people, they say, well, I messed up. I will go back to where you messed up. Let's go back there and start there. Let's fix that, and then we'll go on. Many people want to go on without fixing the past. You need to fix everything you can in the past so you go, because it'll bother your conscience. You should. With a loud voice, Lazarus come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Look how he came. You think he wasn't glad? Bound, but glad. Amen. Foot, hand and foot in grave clothes. But I just imagine underneath there was a smile and a happiness and glad to be here. Like old Minnie Pearl used to say, I'm just glad to be here. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him. You take off what you put on him and let him go. Now look what happens. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. I'd like to sing the song before we go, He Hath Made Me Glad. Because I want to tell somebody tonight before I close. All of this happened to Lazarus that they may believe on him. How would you ever believe on God if he didn't ever put you in anything? How much faith would it take if you never had to use it? It is the trial of your faith that gives you patience. You know what patience is? In patience possess you your soul. Them that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Right? Patience. And so, when I was going through things, let me just tell you, I've tried, I'm not perfect, but I've tried to be a good Christian in countenance. A good Christian in countenance. Because the Bible talks about the health of thy countenance. When the Lord came to Cain, he didn't have to. He knew he'd done something wrong. He looked at his countenance. He said, "Why is our countenance fallen? You don't look glad. Yesterday you looked a little happier than you are today." And so, going through things in life, and even one time, things happened for years, and I was teaching Sunday school for three or four of those years. But when it's all said and done, and everything was over, you might say, people that I taught in Sunday school said, "I had no idea you were going through that." Why? Because he hath made me glad. He hath made me. It's not their fault. It's not anybody's fault. This is the Lord. Now, it took me a while to understand that this is the Lord's workings. And it is marvelous in our eyes. So whatever you're going through, Brother George and Brother Johnson and all that, rejoice. Amen. Yeah. He said, see, we got it so backwards. Beautiful are the death of my saints. That's it. And we'll sing. I told my wife, no, there's going to be none of that. If there's going to be any music, it's going to be shucking the corn with the banjo, because that's what I pick. Amen. I'm getting up and gone. I'm not here. Y'all are the ones here. So we might as well be glad. Whatever you find yourself in, whatever state you find yourself, be glad in it. And I promise you, if you'll continue to walk and live for God, the things that you right now apparently make you so sad, you'll look back and say, it worked for my good. Right? Isn't that what the scripture says? All things work for my good. Let's sing tonight as you stand. Let's sing this old song, "He Hath Made Me Glad." Clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let that mind that was in Christ be also in you. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming this cool night. Be careful going home.